Chapter 17, 1 Samuel chapter number 17. We began this message last Sunday night, and we got done point one and two, and we didn't want to rush through point number three. So we're here, and we're talking about David declaring the glory of God, and we're looking at 1 Samuel chapter number 17, that story about David and Goliath. Just for sake of review, for those that may not have been here last Sunday night, we're looking at how David declared the glory of God, and we talked about his faithfulness to start with. He declared God's glory when he was faithful, and we looked at how he was faithful in the little things. Even though he was anointed to be king and had this, a high calling on his life, he still was willing to be a shepherd. He was even playing the harp in the king's courtroom. Talked about how his possessions were something he was careful with. He fought off a lion and a bear just to save a sheep. I told you last week, I probably would not fight off a lion or a bear to save a sheep. I probably would let them have it. We talked about how he was focused, and we looked at how Eliab was trying to criticize him and how to deal with people that are critical, and how to deal with someone who is trying to give you bad advice, and how to deal with someone who is taunting you. And we looked at some of those things. We talked about having a clear conscience. We talked about answering courteously. We talked about speaking courageously. But we also talked about keeping a clear cause. So we looked at his faithfulness. We looked at his focus. Tonight, what I'm interested in is found in verses 45 through 50 in chapter number 17. And we're looking at his fearlessness. Man, when you read this story, he doesn't seem like he has sense, but in all reality, it's not that. It's the fact that he is not afraid of what man can do. He's more worried about God, more worried about God's testimony, more worried about God's glory being exalted. And tonight, we're just going to spend a little bit of time looking at some different things here. Let's go ahead and read verses 45 through 50. And I know sometimes we've heard stories so long and so often that we just gotten so common, so used to them. But remember, this man was such a giant that thousands of Israelites were not willing to fight him. They even allowed this guy to come down and defy the armies of the living God, to mock God, to mock the people, and to mock their king. And these guys were too afraid. So this is a very intimidating character. But you look at David, there's something about him that is just, when you see it, you say, there's something different about him. And that's what we're talking about, declaring his glory. It's the idea God does a work in us, and as God does a work in us, then the rest of the world will see it. And they're going to say, you know what? Man, God has done something in that person's life. We're not looking to glory and honor ourselves. David wasn't looking to glory and honor. He did ask, you know, what's going to happen? But he doesn't focus on that. When you read these and when he's talking to Goliath, he's not talking about that way I can become married to the king's daughter and that way I can get praise and that way I can get glory. That's not what happens at all. You're going to read, he says, look, I want the whole world to know that there's a God in Israel. God's going to do this work, and God's going to fight this battle, and he's giving all the glory to God. Yes, David does get exalted up in this position. This is kind of when he's coming from being a shepherd boy and going into becoming a soldier. But here in this story, as you read these verses, just see the fearlessness in the sense of David. And tonight we're going to look at why he was fearless and what brought him to this spot that he could act like this. And why other people are not acting like this in this story. Verse number 45, then David said, actually let's go up to verse number 43 to give you a little background. It says, And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? Now the Philistine, the Goliath, the giant, this huge man came out. He had an armor bearer. He was covered in metal from head to toe except for just a little portion, and that's what David hit. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Now, his gods are not alive, but David's God is the one true living God. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. So he's saying, look, come on, let's get this done and over with. 45, David responds, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. You know, he's giving God the glory here. He's not depending upon himself. The God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. This was David's intention here. He wants the world to know about his God, the God that is so close to him, the God that is so means so much to him. He wants the rest of the world to see this. Not only do the Philistines need to see this, the Israelites need to see this too, because they're not depending and trusting on him. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David. Now look at this, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He wasn't just walking up there. He wasn't kind of not sure of himself. It says he runs to him. I mean, there's something about him that has made him the ability to be a giant killer. Verse 49, and David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone stuck into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. What an amazing thought there. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. And there was no sword in the hand of David. I read this and I see that, you know, there was two groups of people that needed to see this. The Israelites and the Philistines both. And I think in our lives, we got to realize that if we were going to declare the glory of God, we need to do it amongst the people inside of our church, but also to a lost and dying world too. Let's look for a little while tonight about how David declared his glory and why he was fearless against the giant. Let's have a word of prayer real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us tonight. Lord, you know there's a lot of things that's in my heart and mind that I'd like to express. And Lord, I pray that you just pick and choose, Lord, what you once said. Lord, that you have free reign and spirit in the message. And Lord, even in those that are hearing, and Lord, apply to different areas that need to be applied. And Lord, I know you've worked in my heart about this. And Lord, I pray that you'll work in others' hearts too. And Lord, that we respond like we talked about this morning. What should then we do? What is it, Lord, that we need to do to work in this area? Help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. There's two things, I think, the reason why he was fearless. Number one is because God's presence was real to him. He knew God. He understood God. And there's some different things. I think that we've been talking a lot about this. We're talking about declaring his glory. If we're going to declare his glory out in public, we're going to have to deal with it privately. If we're going to declare his glory in public, we're going to have to do it privately. And I am convinced his dynamic conquest in public was because of his disciplined character in private. Let me say that again. His dynamic conquest in public was because of his disciplined character in private. If we're going to declare God's glory, if we're going to be one of his champions, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have to deal with being disciplined in private and getting to know God and believing in God and understanding God and feeling his presence. I know as this giant comes out in the scene, and I think about this giant, and he comes out in the scene, he defies God, but you think about it. What was David's? David's getting there, and David's a shepherd. He's out there with the sheep. His dad asked him to go somewhere. Some people might say, well, I don't really want to do the job, but I can imagine David's probably pretty excited. He's going to go to the battle. He's going to see his brothers, and he's going to see the Israelites, and he's going to, and once again, David's here, and he's thinking that, you know what, the Israelites are just going to smack around the Philistines. There's really no battle here. There's no really competition. You know, the Philistines, they don't have a true living God. The Israelites do have a God. So in David's mind, he is going, and he is going to watch the Israelites take out the Philistines, you know, the one true living God. So he gets there, and when he gets there on the scene, this giant of a man comes out, and instead of seeing, you know, the Israelites fighting and winning the battle, he sees this guy come out and defy God. He imagined the guys that he thought were going to be the champions, you know, my brothers and all these other Israelites and King Saul. That's not what he finds. He finds this other man scaring and intimidating him. I tell you, I think that in the world that we live in today, we need some champions. We need some heroes that are going to be godly. We need some people that are going to stand up for the generation to come and say, you know what, I'm going to live for God and I'm going to be fearless so that way they don't have to look to sports people to be their heroes or political figures to be their heroes or secular people. I think we need some people that young people can look up to and say, you know, that's someone I want to be like because they're like Jesus Christ. don't know about you. I've had people in my life like that. I have people in my life like that growing up. I looked at them and said, you know, I didn't appreciate it back then, but now I look back and say, you know what? That person was like Christ. I remember some of the things he did, some of the ways he spoke, some of the ways he showed kindness. I remember hearing him pray. I remember him praying for me and praying with me. Those are things that I think that we need to see. David goes, and I think he's expecting to see this great battle, and he's expecting to see the Philistines get beat really bad. And when he gets there, he's really disappointed in what he finds. And so he has to be the one to step up. What makes him different? What makes him fearless? And I honestly believe that what made him fearless was because he understood the presence of God. I think he was close to God. I think of this word intimate. He was intimate with God. And this word intimate means being very close, having a deep fellowship. It means having an abiding fellowship with God. It means he was close to God because God says that he was a man that was after his own heart. You think about it, what it said in a couple different places, but in Acts, even in the book of New Testament, Acts 13:22, it says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who shall fulfill all my will. You say, well, that's kind of interesting. But what did you think about a man after his own heart? What does that mean? That it's going to be a man after my own heart. It means that they're going to maybe think like me. They're going to have the same likes and the same dislikes. And it's going to be someone who we want to imitate. Well, how does David get there? Well, I think about it. The way that David gets there, he sought my heart. And Mr. Greg, I don't know if do you have these on or something. It's a little bit loud back here or something. For me, it's a little bit different, if you don't mind. He sought my heart. You know, David, he was someone who sought after God. The Bible says in Psalms 27:8, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto me, thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And it's David saying here, look, if he's a man after God's own heart, he's saying, look, you know what? I sought after God. If you're really truly going to become a man after someone's own heart, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to find out about that person. You're going to have to find out about the things that they like and the things that they dislike. And I think David was fearless here because his character was disciplined in private. It talked about how not only did he seek after him, he learned him too. So David here, he seeks after the heart of God. He learns the heart of God. And then to be a man after God's own heart means that he has to actually begin to think like that person. If you were going to try to be like somebody, you'd have to seek after them. You had to try to study them. You had to seek them out. And then you had to kind of learn about them. Okay, well, what would you do in this situation? And what are the things that you like here and the things that you dislike? And why do you do these things? And then you take those things you've learned and you begin to apply them to your heart. That's what it means to be a man after that God's own heart. Is this a person who David sought after God and he loved God and he learned of God. He began to think like God. You say, who in the world can think like God? Well, the Bible tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have an anticipation and an expectation that we should be thinking like Christ. And when we think about Philippians chapter number 2, we come to this spot and this understanding where he talked about all these different things, about taking of no reputation, becoming the form of servant, all these different things. That's the way that Jesus Christ thinks, and that's the way we should think. And David here, a man after God's own heart, he said, what does that have to do with him fighting this battle? He is thinking like God thinks. To God, this giant, this enemy, he's nothing. God created him. Hey, for God and against God, he is fearless because of the fact that he knows God and his presence is real. And he says, when thou saidest, seek my face, and this is our memory verse this week, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Lord, I want to know you. I want to love you. I want to understand you, Lord. I want to think like you, but you're never going to be a man after or a woman after God's own heart until you seek after him. Until you spend time in private with him, until you understand him, and you begin to learn of him, and you begin thinking of him. Remember, the face here in this verse, seek my face, represents a person's character. A preacher of old used to say, don't just study the word, study the God of the word. When you get into the Bible, look at what God is doing. Look how God is responding. Look what God is doing. You can see and find God on every page. Seek it out. Say, this is why David was able to be fearless. This is why David was able to have this ability to stand before this giant. It's because he knew God. I'm not saying that none of the other Israelites knew God. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is David had a personal relationship and David loved him. David was a man after God's own heart. God passed over Saul because Saul did not have the heart that God wanted to have for him. And because of that, David here is fearless. David even tells his son, I think this is when he's getting ready to pass on. He says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father." He says, I want you to know God. And this is something that goes through all the Bible and speaks about the importance of knowing him. Daniel 11:32, but the people that do know their God shall be strong. Mark 3:14, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him and he might send them forth to preach. Don't miss this. God ordained 12, but the 12 did what? They were with him first. The reason why David was able to be fearless is because he spent time with him first. And if we're ever going to declare his glory, it's going to come to the spot where we have to say, I need to spend time with him first before I can ever do anything for him later. The one preacher put it this way, if you're not much with him, you're not going to do much for him. If you're not much with him, you will not do much for him. Paul even said that I may know him. I remember the first time I heard this statement. I've heard it many times since. It was Mike Thurman. I think it was the first year Mike Thurman was here as an evangelist. And he made this statement. He says, you are as close to God as you want to be. And that kind of just struck me in my heart. Wow. Never thought of it that way. I want to be closer to God. I would love to be a person that is always spirit filled and, you know, seeing God work and seeing God move and God always answer your prayers. But you are as close to God as you want to be. And if you're not as close to God as you want to be today, it is not God's fault. And I think he even alluded to something like that. And I was like, man, it's on me. I need to learn. I need to grow. I need to be with him more. If I want to be closer to him, he's promised me his word. In James 4:8, it says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. And you know, there's an implication there. The implication is we're not close. That we have, the implication is that we are not close enough. But then there's also an invitation. You can be close. And then there's also an inclusion. If you make a move, then I will draw nigh to you. So if I want to be closer to God, then you know all I have to do is draw nigh to him. And he says he'll draw nigh to me. This is what David did. This is why David is fearless. This is why David has declared his glory. He said, well, he was an expert slingshot person. I don't know if that's true or not. But David used the talent he had. He said, I don't want the armor. I don't want the sword. I have not proved these things. I'm going to go with the things that God has given me. I'm going to use that. And maybe he did have a tool that God was able to use because he was a wise steward of that tool. Maybe so. Maybe God was the one that helped take that stone and put that in the perfect spot. You can argue and worry about that. But the point was he was willing to fight the battle. He was willing to declare the glory because he had spent time with him. Christian, the reason why so many people were sitting on that sideline today, the presence of God was not real to them. You know why many people don't get close with God today? They just don't want to. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're a preacher, you know, you want to preach with God's power. You want to be spirit-filled. You want to see fruit that remains. And even as individuals, you want to be spirit-filled. You want to see your church grow. You want to see your family be blessed. You want to be close to God. I mean, that's what our desire is. But the Bible's saying here that we are as close to God as we want to be tonight. And if we want to be close to him, maybe our hearts should be convicted that I need to move closer to God because David was closer. David understood the presence of God. And for somehow, some reason, those thousands of Israelites were not feeling the presence of God. They said no. They were afraid of the pagan, the one that defied God, the one that did not care about God, the one who was serving a God that was not even alive. You know why many people are not as close to God as they want to be is because it's going to cost them something. It's going to mean time. Like we learned about this morning, it's going to mean us looking deep inside and saying, Lord, okay, what is it you want me to do about this? I know you want me to change this. I know you want me to work on this. David was fearless because he had felt the presence of God. He knew the presence of God. He knew what it was like to be close with him. I look at this story and I'm like, why did even David care? David goes there in our time and is like, well, that's not my fight. That's not my battle. If you guys can't beat him, then definitely I can't. But that's not David, how David feels. David knows God. David loves God. And someone was cursing the God that he loved and the God that he knew and the God that he was close to. And he wasn't going to put up with it. Now, where was he before then? He was out in the shepherd fields. He said, what was he doing? And I understand why most people would say, well, he was taking care of the sheep. Well, I think while he was out in the shepherd fields, he was out there worshiping the shepherd. It was during the time that he was a shepherd boy that God looked and found something in David that he didn't find in any of the other brothers. He was someone who was already close to David as a young person. Young people get this. As a young person, I think he wrote some of the Psalms. As a young person, God saw something in him that he could use. And he says, look, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And as a young person, God saw something in him. There was somebody who was seeking after him, someone who was learning after him, someone who was thinking like him, because he was being faithful. He was being faithful to the little things. He was being faithful to possessions, even as a young person. You know, he had been worshiping the God of the shepherds. And the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I go through and I think of some of the Psalms. And I think maybe when David was a young person, he wrote some of these. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't know when, but I know as a young person that God found something in his heart he could use. Maybe in Psalms 81:4, he wrote this as a young person. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and suckling hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. You know, he's fighting the enemy and the avenger here. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? You know, when you look at the stars, and David would spend night thinking, God created all these things. What is this giant that he has a right to defy him? He is nothing against God. And you think about some of the other great Psalms, and Psalms 19:1, when it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence and the fullness of joy at thy right hand. There are pleasures forevermore. You know, why did David get mad? It's because he was worshiping God. And you know what? God, you know, the carnal Saul and the carnal soldiers, God passed over all those. David becomes incensed because of the fact that God is real to him. And God means so much to him. I wonder why sometimes we don't get as upset about sin. I wonder if it's because we're not as close to God as we need to be. I wonder if sin doesn't bother us so much, it's because maybe we're not as close to God. These other Israelites, they could take what was being said about their God and not bother them at all. They were intimidated. David was incensed. There was a difference there. Now, once again, I'm not saying we need to hate the sinner. We need to hate the sin. But sometimes nowadays, sin doesn't even bother us. David was right in his private life. And it showed up in here. God looked at his heart and he saw something that God could use. And Christian, if we really truly want to declare the glory of God, and when we look at this, it's about being with him in our private time. It's about understanding and feeling the God's presence and spending time with him and just getting on our hands and our knees and learning about him and seeking after him. And the great thing is, if he says, if we seek after him, we're going to find him. If we draw nigh to him, he's going to draw nigh to us. It's found in the Bible. It's given to us promises in the Bible. Why aren't we closer to God? Many times we just don't want to give up something. Our life is too full of things. And because it's so full of things, we don't even get when it says, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. We don't have that type of longing and that feeling that, you know what, I'm desperate. I'm thirsty for it. If I don't get it, if I can't get it, it's like when I'm so thirsty, I guess if I can't get it, I'm going to die. It's become so important, so valuable to me, that drink or that taste of knowing and understanding God. That's the man that was able to fight the giant, was one that was a man after God's own heart. He was fearless because he took care of it inside. It wasn't because he was a master slingshot person. Even Saul said, that's foolishness. Here, take this. Number one was because of why was he fearless? Is because he knew the presence of God, or the presence, God's presence was real to him. Second thing is, God's power was real to him too. God's power was real to him. because his presence was real and because of the fact he had done all these different things and he was close to God, God was able to use him. God was able to do things for him. God was able to show himself strong in his life. God was able to declare his glory through his life. And we look at the stories. You look what it says in verse number 32. It says, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight the Philistine." Why is that? Because David knew that God was going to help him win the battle. And many times we won't fight the battle because we've never seen God work. We've never seen God move like this. And we are just sitting on the sidelines shaking and scared because we don't really truly know God like David did. Also in verse 37, David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Samuel said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee." And we read verses 45 through 50 and we see the fearlessness of David. Where does it come from? It's because Goliath wasn't so big of a challenge because of the fact that he already beat a bear and beat a lion. I don't know about you. Would you rather face a 10-foot tall giant or a bear? I don't know. I mean, they both are pretty intimidating. And would we rather fight the giant or would we rather come up against a lion? See, because David had his heart right, and because he was a man after God's own heart, God was able to use him and saw victories won. So that way when the next obstacle came and when the next giant came and when the next problem came, you know what happens? He's able to face him. But many times we shy away from the lions, we shy away from the bears, we shy away from certain battles, and when the next giant comes, we're not ready to fight him. But if we truly want to declare his glory, if we truly see David as he was being faithful, and we see David in his focus, but we see him in his fearlessness. You know, I want God to work in my heart. I want God to work in my life. I want the power of God to work in our church and through us. And we want to see victories. We want to see God work. We want to see God move. But where does it come? It comes to being that person that spends time with him. It comes with being that person that has a heart for God, a person that has the heart of God, the person who has the mind of Christ. You know, who are our children's heroes today? Who are our grandchildren's heroes today? Who do they look up to? Sometimes it worries me when I hear people talk more about basketball and football stars than God, movie stars and pop singers than about God. It concerns me when there is not many heroes of the faith in our generation. And I get excited when I hear a young person talk about how they went to youth conference, they heard a speaker talk, and they really enjoyed it. It's God's working and moving in their hearts. That's why we send them there, because we want them to hear. And we want them to see that there are people that are living for God, and there are people that are doing it. But we want them to see that in our churches, too. We want them to see it in our lives. We want to fight the battles today so that way they maybe don't have to fight the same battles later on. We want to see them, God working in our lives so that way people can be saved. And my sons and my family, I want them to see our prayer needs. I want them to see God answer prayers. I want God to prepare, to provide things for us, and God to do different things and be able to rejoice when God works and rejoice when God moves. I want all those things. I want to declare God's glory in my life and through our families and through our church. But where does it begin? It starts by being a man or a woman after God's own heart. Are you there? Are we fearless? Are we able to fight the giant with the confidence and the faith that God can and God will take on this battle for us? Where does it become? Where does it start? It's by drawing closer to God. Tonight, the question is, how close are you to him? Do you want to be closer? Yes, we want to be closer. Yes, we want to God's power in our lives. Are we willing to take the time that it's going to take to draw nigh to him? Pastor, I'm busy. I got work. I got family. I got interest. I got this. I understand all that. I do. I understand all that. But what's more important? Do we want to declare his glory? Can it not work all together? If there's something that's distracting you from getting closer to God, is that not something we need to get rid of in our lives? How close are you to God today? Are you intimate? Are you close with him? Are you abiding with him today? Are you as close to God as you want to be? I know as a Christian, we say, oh, we'll always want to be closer. But I think when you talk to David and you ask David that question, his answer would have been, man, I love him so much. I don't know how I could love him more, but every day it just seems like I love him more. Remember those relationships that are really good and you guess, you know, they have such a great love for one another. And they say things like, man, I couldn't imagine loving this person more than I got when I got married. And every day it just gets better and better and better. You hear people talk like that. I love my wife more today than I did the first day we got married. And the same thing with God here is, you know what? I didn't know I could love him anymore or want to know more about it, feel his presence. But, you know, it happens day after day. And that's when David says, look, it's like as the deer panted for the water, as the heart panted for that water brook, my heart is panting for God. I want to hear God. I want to be near him. It's not about fighting. David did not leave that day to go fight that battle. He did not. I think David's heart that day was, let's go watch the Israelites beat the Philistines. I think that's what his intention was, and David had to go from being the shepherd boy to a soldier because no one else was close enough to God to realize that God was able to win this battle. And that's what I want to see, as people, myself, to get close enough to God so God can use me to declare his glory. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes real quick as we give a couple questions to think about during invitation. Tonight, I want you to really